We actually submitted a petition that was signed by JMR Properties and also by representatives on behalf of the Vermont Avenue condominiums. They've also agreed to split the cost with us for the land, and it's the understanding that the land would be split equally down the middle, with half going to JMR and half going to Vermont Avenue. But they most definitely were aware of it, and proper notices were sent to them as well.
Thank you very much. That was unclear to me. The other problem I'm having is I do appreciate the hearing, and when I was reading the legislation, the state legislation on abandonment of streets, it's not clear that there should be a hearing. And I certainly appreciate the folks at the city council having hearings on these matters. In the future, we may be faced with more abandonments in the Strawberry Field area, where the Rhode Island Airport Corporation is proposing building a berm across Strawberry Field Road and down to Murray Street. So I just wanted to be clear that when that comes before the city council, that there will in fact be a hearing on the matter. It will be a formal process. It will be well advertised, and that folks will have a chance to be heard. And I just want to, you know, emphasize this.
We will always follow protocol and advertisement requirements.
And the hearing, because if you look at the state statute, it doesn't really clarify that. So, but I think what we're saying is here at the city of Warwick, we will have a hearing.
It has long preceded my tenure here, but it has been the practice of the council with abandonment to hold a public hearing and proceed it as an ordinance. So it also has its two passages, first with the public hearing, and then another one to follow. So, right. and we advertise all those things right, like any other zoning proposal.
Right. I do appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And for the stenographer, that is the council solicitor. Any other members of the public that would like to be heard on this project at this time? Are there any other members of the public that would like to be heard? Are there any other members of the public that would like to be heard? Councilman Foley, would you like to make a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close public hearing.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Kephart. Okay, we are now back to the council. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council? Oh, we got to do a vote on that. The clerk will call a roll to close the public hearing. We can do a voice vote. All those in favor say aye of closing aye. The public hearing.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we are now back to the council. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council on this time? Okay, hearing none. Councilman Foley, do you have a motion?
Motion for favorable action on PCO 6-23.
Second by Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. First passage. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. All set. So at this time, maybe we take a quick 5-minute break, and then we'll go back into the Finance Committee, and then Councilman Howe.
8 p.m. The Finance Committee is continuing. We are now moving on to PCR 32-23. Before we begin, I would like a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on March 6th.
So moved.
I have a motion. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The first item is bid 2023-348, purchase of a paratransit van. Good evening, Director. When you come up to the microphone, please identify. That one right there. Yes, thank you.
Good evening, Chairman Howe and members of the committee, and happy spring. I am here to present the bid that we have recommended for a paratransit van. It is a 12-passenger plus 2-wheelchair van. There were 4 bids, ranging from $109,912 to a high of $119,745. The lowest bidder was not in compliance with the specs on multiple areas. There are 6 on the letter there which were critical. So the second lowest was a bid from Matthews Bus, who complied with everything with the exception of one spec, which was actually exceeded our request. The difference between the two bids is $960, and we are recommending that the bid go to Matthew Bus Sales.
Thank you. And as I'm looking at your bidding, so this vehicle that was decided on is not in stock at this time. It would be 90-day.
Correct. And we have asked that that when we accept the bid, we consider that they have a guarantee to hold the quote for a specific delivery date, so that we had an issue last year with supply chain issues, mm-hmm. and the chassis kept increasing and increasing. So we would have to put in some kind of a something that said that they have to hold to that number
yep.
for delivery time. I also have to comment that this is being paid for through ARPA funds, also a state designated grant. And so the city's responsibility for this is $4,539.
Right. And the chassis is available, as you said, before the issue was that we kept waiting because of the supply chain.
Exactly.
Now this is available, so we're looking at a 90-day.
Exactly. And this is very different from last year when we had, you know, quotes all over the place because of the supply chain demands. Mm-hmm. But this year they were very close. I mean, $10,000 between the lowest and the highest is a pretty tight bid range.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of this committee? Any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, yes, Director.
Good evening.
With respect to the warranties on this vehicle, what are those warranties? I don't see them in here, at least.
It is in the specs. Oh, sorry. So the chassis is 3 years or 36 miles. I'm sorry, 36,000 miles. The powertrain, 5 years or 60,000 miles. The Star Trans, which is the type of bus, limited warranty is 1 year or 12,000. The bus body structure, 5,000 or 75,000 miles. The heater, air conditioning, and the chairlift has 3 years, the air conditioning, 5 years, and the seating frames, 5 years and unlimited miles.
Very good. You said that the chassis is in. As of your position paper on March 2nd, it says on a 2023 chassis to be built and available in approximately 90 days. So from March 2nd to today, that has changed?
No, I stand corrected. You are right, Councilman. It is not available right now. We would want to put something in there conditionally to say that that price could not increase in the next 90 days.
That would be critical, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Particularly where down further in your description of the bidders, it says date bid expires, and Matthew Bus says chassis availability. That's a big problem, or it could be a big problem, because if it's not available in 6 months, we could be in the same boat as we were with that other vendor. So it would be imperative that you get something in writing to guarantee that bid and in turn send it off to this council.
I have no problem with that.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I mean, in the interest of protecting you, us, the taxpayers, so we don't have another vendor issue like we had before.
I agree, Councilman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions or comments from other members of the council? Councilwoman Donna Travis.
Hey, thank you. Hi, Director. How are you?
Good evening.
How many buses do we have right now?
We have, hang on a second. We have five buses. We have a 2013 Chevy with 105,000 miles. We have three 2014 Chevys with slightly over 100,000 miles on each of them. And then we have one 2021 16 passenger with 20,000 miles.
So do you have a 16 passengers? So the other four 12 passengers?
We have three are 16 passengers with two wheelchair, and two are 12 passenger plus two.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other members of the council? Members of the public? Any members of the public would like to speak on this bid? Any members of the public? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The second bid is 2023-404, Municipal Fire Training Academy. Chief, please identify yourself with title.
Department. Assistant Chief Oppenhauer, the Fire Department. The Fire Department is seeking an exception to bid to send 24 fire recruits to the State Municipal Fire Academy. We're seeking to award this purchase to the Rhode Island State Fire Academy in the amount of $78,000.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to kind of go on this. This academy, as I was informed by the chief, that the department is doing something a little different that's never been done before to accommodate and to get the best recruits. And I think that this is something that the rest of the council, this is a great opportunity to inform the rest of the council. The fire department initiated where they are recruiting to active duty military and deployed military. And for the first time, they're sending their tests that used to be have to physically taken in the fire building or in a city building. So participants had to come to the city to take this test to qualify for employment, or for the academy, I should say. The fire department has selected members of the military that are still at their duty stations. And let me just say with a little understanding that military members, once you're 6 to 8 months from exiting the military, cannot take leave. You are not allowed to take leave. So you cannot apply for jobs like the fire department, even though you may have had that training and that experience. You could not fly here to interview and then fly back because you are barred from taking leave because you're in the process of out-processing. And if, God forbid, anything happens, that's a whole nother, whether you're covered or not or anything that could be. So what the fire department did was send out the tests and allowed a federal proctor, a federally licensed proctor, administer the test on behalf of the fire department. And then once that person passed the written test and took the test, that person then was interviewed via Zoom. So for the first time in this, while we're preparing to send some of our members to the academy, this class and the next class in April, we will have three members or four members, I'll let the chief specify, of deployed or active duty military now applying for the job, including one particular that's in Alaska with experience as, I know, I found that interesting, with with experience as a combat medic with deployments in Iraq. So when you speak about going out and grabbing the talent in this time where finding that talent, we're reading in the newspapers, I have to commend the fire department for thinking outside the box. I know that there's been conversations. There's that feel of, you know, we have to get the best of the best. And I feel that, you know, with the fire department giving up that little bit of control over the tests and trusting the federal administrator to administer it, it definitely is something that I have to commend you on as we're preparing to send these recruits to the department. I do have to say, and again, Chief, you can correct me, they are still required when they come back before they go to the academy to meet the agility test, which is obviously very important. And as the chiefs have stated, they really don't feel that'll be an issue. But so, Chief, please go on. If you could clarify, did I make it clear enough?
So yeah, three of those 24 are active reserve or previous military service. Chief McMichael, since he's come to the fire department here, has been went to great lengths to try to recruit and promote veterans in previous military service, because our fire department has had, frankly, great luck with them in the past. So, so that is true. Encourage them. We actively recruit them. The next step would be, there's actually 6 of the next 8 on the list are all previous military service. And the only reason that they were passed over is because they weren't released from their service in time for this academy. So what they'll do is they'll state where they are on the eligibility list, and then they will be at, first up for the next academy class that we start.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Are there any further questions from members of the committee? Councilman Foley.
Chief, that we're sending 24 to the academy. They all make it through. How many do we need?
It's good. So it's broken into 2 groups. There's 7 that are currently going through training right now. So 4 of those 7 will be at the academy. And then there's another group coming in 2 weeks. In a couple weeks, yes. They'll start in April. They'll start here in the Warwick in April. They'll go to the academy later in April. And there's potentially up to 20 of the 23 of those recruits will be sent down to the academy. So that gives us a total of 30 recruits coming in. They'll all finish up sometime in August. That actually satisfies our requirements for the federal grant that we received last year for the 20 new firefighters. That's the main reason for that big class. And that will bring us up to our new levels with the SAFER grant funding, but unfortunately still a couple short of our minimum that we'd like to carry, the 204, now 224 that we like to carry. We're still going to have a couple vacancies, so we anticipate another class coming sometime in fiscal year 24.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that's a great idea regarding our veterans. They certainly deserve to have some, cooperation, I guess, given what they're doing for us. With that said, the tests that will be done for military, are those tests administered in person?
So they're remotely proctored exams. So the testing company incorporates, in accordance with military proctors, they do a video recording. So it's basically they use 2 different cameras to just make sure they're not using, they're doing it correctly, and they're not using any cheats or anything like that. And then there's active military person that is given by the base that also oversees that process. So it's a computerized exam. It's just done remotely proctored by video and by live proctor.
So given your response, do you have any knowledge, or does the fire department have any knowledge of any problems associated with taking these tests versus by Zoom?
Well, the test isn't by Zoom. The oral interview is by Zoom. The test is done by remotely proctored. So the same testing company that administers our written examination, the paper exam that we give the 200 other candidates, it's the same examination in a computer-based form, but it's just given in that remotely proctored way. If they pass that written exam and move on to the interview, because they can't be here in person, we allow them Zoom in for their oral interview.
I see. Does everyone receive the same test, or are they different tests?
They receive the same test.
They all have the same test.
Yeah, and their scores are usually consistent with the average scores from the group of the act that actually does the written. We've done 3 or 4 this year, and in last, I think we did 2 or 3 in the last testing process. And their scores are right on the average of the written exam.
So the tests that are taken, whether it be from our military people or taken right here at the fire station, those tests, are they the same tests as prior potential recruits took?
No, the test changes every time that we administer, every 2 years.
It changes every what?
Every 2 years. We do an eligibility list every 2 years, and a different version of that test is requested from that company for each time that we administer the test.
So do you have a class that you propose any closer than every 2 years?
What we do every 2 years is we create an eligibility list. So right now there are 60 candidates on that list that have successfully, everybody who passes a written exam and passes or interview is ranked and placed on that list. And then as we need candidates or recruits, we pull from that list in order. So since I've been here, I've never seen a list actually get exhausted. So we usually have more candidates on the list than we do, than we actually hire in any 2 year period. So I don't imagine this list being exhausted.
Okay. I just want to follow up on Councilman Foley's question. So assuming that all 24 candidates pass and are hired by the fire department within the next year and a quarter or something to that effect, what will your total complement be?
So it's actually 30 recruits that we're hiring. Only 24 of them are going to the academy. So if we get candidates from other that have previous experience in the fire service, if they've already been through the municipal academy in the past, we don't send them again. So they've already got their certifications and their qualifications. So they won't go back to the academy. We won't pay for them to go back to the academy to do something they've already done and have certifications in. So we're right now we're having a class of 7 and a class of 23, so 30 total, and they'll be done actually in August of this coming year, not within a year and a half. They'll be done in August of 23. That will bring us up to our new number of 224, which includes the 20 federally funded.
I'm sorry, your new quota what? 224.
204 is our stand-in number.
Yep.
That was increased to 224 with the 20 federally funded positions for the next 3 years. So at least for the next 3 years, we'll be at 224.
And your full complement right now is 212?
204.
It is 204?
Yeah.
And the grant from Senator Reid that paid for, or that was for 20 firefighters, correct?
Correct.
And how much was that grant for?
A little over $6 million. I think
$6
million? $6.2 million over 3 years. Yes.
$6 million, you said?
$6.2 million, I believe.
Okay.
Over 3 years.
Over 2 years?
3 years.
3 years. And that grant, what specifically does that grant cover?
So that grant was put in position to fill firefighter positions to backfill for a fifth rescue, so that we can put on a fifth rescue. And once we take the firefighters off the line to man that rescue, they would federally funded positions would backfill those positions that they vacated, and then to add for the next 3 years to add a third man to each of our ladder companies, which would bring us closer to the NFPA standard for those companies.
So does it pay just for salaries, or does it pay for the entire cost of each firefighter, which includes health care and pension and OPEB, et cetera?
It includes all contractually obligated costs. So yes, it includes their base salary, their holidays, their clothing allowances, their pension. It includes the city's side of the pension and tax contributions. Any costs to the city that are contractually obligated by taxes or by the contract, the city, the federal government will reimburse the city.
Over 3 years. So I'm going to ask another question, the same as I did years back when the fire department was given 8 floaters. And also another time when you had the grants covering, I forget how many firefighters it was at the time. So in this case, you're going from 204 to 224 in the next 3 years. That's paid for by the grant from Senator Reid's office. So when that grant is over, what happens? Do you go back to 204, or do we still own 224 with no grant?
So the city's under no requirement to maintain those positions. So What we anticipate happening is prior to that, the contractual negotiations will happen. We'll have a new contract prior to the expiration of that grant. And any of those positions that the fire department wants to maintain would obviously have to be negotiated with the contract.
So that's a pretty similar answer from what I got last time. So with the last grant that we received, for how many firefighters was that for, the last grant we got?
I think
it was a lot. It was,
I don't remember,
23
honestly.
Or something. It was a significant amount.
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
So of those firefighters, which again increased the complement beyond the 204, I'll just use that number, has any of those positions been eliminated either through attrition or through retirement or anything like that? Or do we still have those firefighters?
Are you talking about the previous SAFER grant?
Uh-huh.
So those firefighters, they're definitely still in the department. So we took them in, but I believe we didn't maintain the staffing levels that we did once the previous SAFER grant was in place. So I think at that time we were up to 226 or something like that, or at least above 220. We're down to 204 as our standing man in right now.
Right now you have 204?
Right now we're at 190. But
okay, that was 194 is what you have right now.
190 is what we're going to be down to this fiscal year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I think that's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions for members of the council? Are there any questions for members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next is bid 2023-176, GTAC F10-110, tablets and vehicle mounting hardware. Good evening, Major. Please identify.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. In August of 2022, the Warwick Police Department went out to bid for GTAC F110 tablets and associated vehicle mounting hardware. Island Tech Services had been awarded the contract for the original spending authorization of $50,000. The Police Department is seeking a 612 alteration of contract to increase the spending authority an additional $60,000 for a new overall spending authority of $110,000. The Police Department is seeking the increased spending authority due in part to our modified short-term goals and acquisition of new vehicles to our fleet, which need to be equipped with the GTAC tablets. More tablets than originally planned are necessary to equip these vehicles. If approved, funding would be allocated from the police operating budget 30-231 computers.
Thank you, Major. Questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Major.
Good evening.
Major, what is the, because I just wasn't able to get to the answer, believe it or not, the cost per unit, average cost per unit. I mean, if I do the multiplication, I come up with $1,851.85, but my question is, are some units more expensive than others, or are they all the same price?
Sir, the items in the bid spec are all the same. So it's a GTAC F110 tablet. It's a very specific device that is going in the police cars. And the per unit price is $2,560. That's just the tablet and not including any associated hardware. That's mm-hmm. also listed in the original bid from last fall.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions from members of this council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you.
That
concludes the high dollar items. We now move to the remaining of the bid package. I'm going to ask members of the committee, members of the council, then members of the public to identify items in the bid package they would like to discuss. I will start with this committee. I will give everyone about 30 seconds to review.
Did you have something? Number 10.
Councilman Foley, selects 23, correction, Councilman Foley selects bid 2023-401. That is found on page 47. Thank you. Are there any items from members of the council that would like? Councilman Lattisor.
2023-388, found on page 20. It's item 4. Horizon Event Management Environment Software Maintenance.
Thank you.
And item number 7, 2023-405, found on page 37, Annual Shield Suite Software.
Please repeat that for me, please, Councilman.
Annual Shield Suite Software.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Number 7, 2023-405, Annual Shield Suite Software, is found on page
37.
37. Thank you. We are going on. So therefore, the first item that we will speak on is bid 2023-388. Horizon Event Management Environment Software Maintenance. This is found on page 20. Please identify, Director.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director.
And Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Hi.
So this symposium technologies, I believe that's the former Perverse program that was developed by the fire department here in Warwick?
This is a separate company.
Right.
I can't speak to the acquisitions that were made over the years, though.
Okay. Do you know? Fairly certain that it is. Okay. The question comes up every time we get into this.
Yes, sir.
So I'm reading on the second paragraph, says this software provides the fire department a real-time web-based emergency response platform, which includes computer-aided dispatch, et cetera, in-vehicle response system, map-based mobile response alerting system, and a station monitoring feature.
Yes, sir.
Does this particular software, does it track any fire department vehicle from the time it leaves the station to the time it returns?
It has tracking. I don't know if it's kept historically. Maybe the chief.
Let me rephrase the question before we go. Does this software have the capability of tracking a fire department piece of apparatus from the time it leaves the station?
It would have to have that capability. Okay. I don't know if it's deployed or what it would take to deploy that.
And to the deputy chief, does the station make use of that tracking software?
Please identify before answering the question.
Assistant Chief Umbenhauer, the fire department. Thank you. Councilman, like I said, I believe the last time that I was at the council meeting when we talked about the GPS capabilities of the fire department. This is the piece of software I was speaking of at the time. Yeah. All of our apparatus have mobile terminals in them that display the dispatch information. And part of that is GPS capability. So the dispatchers at all times through this piece of software are aware of where those trucks are in the city. And that capability is also able to be seen by the chiefs of the department. And that's all recorded. Yes.
So, in fact, the department does have and is using the capability of tracking a piece of apparatus or multiple pieces of apparatus at any given time of the day and night, where those vehicles are and where they're going and when they come back.
Correct, with the one caveat that as long as they're within cellular service, we can. Yes, if they're in an area where they don't get cellular service, that's how the GPS signal is pushed back to the software. If they're in a dead spot, we may not get that exact location until they come back into the serviceable area.
And is this information kept and stored in the cloud, and I'm not Mr. Computer by any sense, but is this information stored, kept in the cloud, or wherever you computer folks keep it?
It's actually stored in the servers here in the city of Warwick.
Okay. And how long is this kept?
In perpetuity, as far as I know. Okay. We don't have any, ever wiped any of these GPS records.
And can this information, can this be provided electronically?
I don't believe so. I believe we have the playback capability to play back their GPS, the track of their GPS locations, but I don't believe we get a printout or an Excel sheet with that actually has those data points print in a reported form.
This question will go to Director Carlucci. So with this software, does this software allow for the capability to upload, I don't know, let's say a month's worth of information or tracking on any of the vehicles in the fire department? Does it have the capability of uploading that information and providing it electronically?
When you speak of electronics, if you're talking about a report, I think
report.
The chief had mentioned to you that there is no, that's not its purpose. So there's nothing designed within the graphical user interface, the thing that we use to interoperate with software. There's nothing that is delineated there that you push a button and say, give me from this date to this date, this vehicle, where it was listed out in a report. From a technology standpoint, data's data.
Right.
Could we contract with them to write something that would extract it? I hesitate to say yes, but just once again, from a technology standpoint, it is feasible.
The deputy chief said that they do keep it and they do store it, excuse me, this tracking record in perpetuity. So this is information that is available.
This is data that is
data.
Available.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
There's a difference between data and information. Data is just that, data. Information tells you something about the data. I believe that's your question, and that's where programming language comes into play, taking data and turning it into actionable information.
But isn't the purpose, or one of the purposes of this particular software that we're paying for, to track the vehicles, emergency response, dispatch, in-vehicle response, map-based, mobile, response, alerting system, et cetera. Isn't that the purpose of this software?
Its major functionality is about being able to deploy the asset, the right asset, the closest asset to the immediate need, knowing where something is located, having the ability to understand possibly what equipment's on the vehicle, that you need a specific piece of equipment at a situation. Once again, I may be stretching here. I think your question is about historic information. And at least to my knowledge, that's not the main purpose of the software from a historic perspective.
No, I understand what we're saying is not the main purpose, but I think my question has been answered that this software does have the capability of doing so and can do so.
It absolutely has the capability of storing the data. You're right.
Thank you, Chairman. That's all I have on that.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other further questions from members of this council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Going down the list, the next item we will discuss is Bid 2023-405, Annual Shield Suite Software. This is found on page 37. Major, please identify yourself.
Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department.
Thank you. Councilman Lattisor.
Hi, Major. Thank you, Chairman. Major, could you, I'm going to read the first sentence in your position paper. It says the Police Department is seeking authorization to renew its purchase of specific software for its electronic management of personnel. Further down, it says daily operational reports, training records use, et cetera, vehicle pursuits, vehicle incident documentation and employee conduct tracking, conducting these matters in paper format. Could you give us a broader explanation of that, starting with software for its electronic management of personnel? What does this software allow you to do?
Just allows us to get away from the paper, which we were using not too long ago, paper files. So we get into it. It's basically an electronic file cabinet for personnel records, for pursuit analysis. Every time we have a pursuit, we have to complete a comprehensive report, pretty much an after-action report on the pursuit. Same with use of force and other similar records, and it houses it all in one program that's accessible and easy to use.
Mm-hmm. And it also says vehicle incident documentation. Give me an example of vehicle incident documentation that this software would track and be able to provide.
That's it may have more capabilities than we use in regards to that particular section, but it can certainly track any vehicle accidents a particular vehicle in our fleet may have been involved in previously. But it's not in overly comprehensive in that one particular category.
But it would, excuse me, I'm sorry, but it would be able to identify a vehicle incident, such as if a police cruiser was involved in an accident, if someone backed into a police cruiser, if the for some reason the police cruiser veered off the road and hit a pole. That would do that type thing?
It could, but our traditional accident reports would be much easier to track and supersede this okay. documentation.
So
it could handle smaller items like minor damage that doesn't require a police report.
Okay, great, thank you. So to follow up on that, the police report comment you just made. So if any vehicle of the police department, and I know you have a lot of vehicles, if any vehicle in the police department is involved in an incident, an accident, there would be a police report done on that?
Predominantly, yes. That's the easy answer is yes, the short answer.
And in order to send that police cruiser into an auto body shop and get that repaired and go through the trust to be paid for, would a police report be provided for that?
Yes. There should be.
I'm all set, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Question, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? Thank you. The next item for discussion is bid 2023-401, purchase of 3 traffic speed lasers. This is requested by Councilman Foley. Major, if you wouldn't mind just going through the process again.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Thank you. This is found on page 43. Councilman Foley.
Just a quick question. Are these handheld or are these mounted on either a vehicle or a pole?
The best way to describe them is it looks like a small set of binoculars.
Small set of what? Binoculars. So handheld is what they would be?
Yes, handheld just like that, and they see through the lens and right onto the vehicle that's being targeted.
Thank you. Yep. I'm done.
Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
That concludes discussion on PCR 32-23. May I have a consent calendar recommendation and vote?
Move favorable action.
Second. I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. That was PCR 32-23. We are now on PCR 24-23, formerly bid 2023-088, repairs to engine 13. If I may call, thank you. And if we could identify at the microphone, thank you so much.
Christy Moretti, Public Works Business Manager.
Could you repeat that and speak into the microphone? I'm so sorry, we couldn't hear you.
Christy Moretti, Public Works Business Manager.
Thank you so much. To remember, this was requested, this bid in the last meeting was requested to be a PCR because there was a request from a council person, Councilman Lattisor. You requested this as a PCR and it was held. I'll divert to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
So, Christy, amongst some other things that I asked for, I had asked for you to provide us with photos of the damage of engine 13. I had also asked you to provide us with a police report regarding that alleged accident. And I had also asked for a list of parts and labor rates, labor time that is working its way up to the 14,000 and change. And I had also asked for an explanation as to the $90 difference between the numbers that you had agreed to between the two payments of 10,000 change and 14,000 change. And I have not received a response to any of those. So I'll ask again, do you have photos of the damage of this vehicle?
I don't have any of those documents for you.
You don't have anything
for me? Excuse me. As I stated at the last meeting, when you had requested those items, they have to be requested through the mayor's office, and then we take direction from there. So if you'd like those items, you need to request it through the mayor's office.
No, thank you. I'm not about to do a public information request for common sense questions. I'm not going to do a public information request because anyone asked me to do so, including the mayor, for this item. This is common sense questions. It is fiscal responsibility and financial responsibility that is being ignored. But I'm not being provided that. You know why I'm not being provided? Because it doesn't exist. That's why. There is no police report for this accident. But that's fine.
There is a police report.
There is no police report.
There is a police report.
Well, yes. That's funny. Then you need to notify the colonel that there is a police report. Okay? So that's okay, Chairman. I'm all set with this. I'll deal with it later. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any comments, questions for members of this committee? Further comments, questions for members of the council? Further comments, questions for members of the public? Thank you. May I have a motion?
Did we get the information that we needed?
No, the question was, did we get the information? And the answer that was supplied by the director was that all information like that is requested through the mayor's office so that the information will be concise, and therefore there's a communication between the council and the mayor's office and the mayor. But so the short answer is the request wasn't officially made, therefore there wasn't any information provided.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The request was officially made. It was officially made by an elected official on this city council. Yep. It was made to the Department of Public Works. An official request was done.
Understood.
So, it's not that there wasn't an official. It was ignored. And the answer is no. You haven't been provided any documents to deal with the alleged accident that occurred.
Understood, and I do stand corrected, and I apologize. So with the policies set forward, and this is just the request wasn't made through the mayor's office as mentioned. The request was made on this floor in this committee, in this chambers. The policy of the administration is make the request through the mayor's office. So I think we can agree that that wasn't the route that was taken. So therefore, that's where we are right now.
Well, my request for the police report was emailed, and it did include the chief of staff, and I believe the mayor was CC'd on it as well.
Okay, thank you.
So they were notified. Mm-hmm. It was requested, done all this fancy stuff that mm-hmm. is completely unnecessary when these requests are coming from an elected official acting in my official capacity, protecting my constituents and your constituents.
I understand. I'm answering the councilman's question. Yep. I wanted to make sure I gave him all the information. Thank you.
Okay. So you're looking for a motion?
Yes.
I'll move to hold to our next meeting.
I second.
Thank you. I have a motion to hold. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the next meeting will be, April 3rd. Thank you. Next on the Finance Committee agenda is PCO-8-23. An ordinance and amendment of Section 66-5 of the Code of Ordinances approving the financing of the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, equipment, and extension of the city's sewage collection system, including but not limited to interceptors, truck lines, pumps, manholes, pipes, design, feasibility, engineering assessments, and other studies which may be necessary or desirable in connection therewithin, and increasing the amount of the sewer system, revenue bonds, and notes that are authorized to be issued, therefore, to an amount not to exceed $30 million. Good evening, Director.
Thank you, Chairman.
Please identify.
Betty Ann Rogers, Executive Director, Warwick Sewer Authority.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the Finance Committee and City Council, I want to thank you all for this opportunity this evening to discuss the amendment to our bond ordinance. The amendment includes an increase in bond authority from $7 million to $30 million. The additional bond authority that we're requesting is absolutely necessary for us to complete several critical infrastructure projects over the next 2 to 3 fiscal years. The projects include, most notably, the Cedar Swamp Force Main Rehabilitation Project, which is about $14 million, the Oakland Beach Force Main Rehabilitation Project, which is about $3.8 million. We're going to be receiving $1.44 million in an earmark grant, which is wonderful. Oakland Beach Pump Station, $6 million estimate, $2.4 million in earmark funding. The Appanog Pump Station upgrade is going to increase the wet well capacity of that pump station. It's in dire need of an increase, especially with a lot of the developments that we see in the general area of the pump station. That's estimated about $1.5 million. We're going to be receiving earmark funding for that as well, in the amount of $536,000. Lastly, there are 7 ejector stations that are located throughout the city. Our plan is to replace all of those ejector stations, starting with 3 this coming fiscal year, that are in dire need of replacement. They're costing us a lot of money in overtime, as well as bypassing for the pump station when it goes down. As I mentioned, the most critical of these projects is the Cedar Swamp Force Main Rehabilitation Project. About 1/3 of the wastewater in the city of Warwick is conveyed through that pump station and force main to an interceptor and then to the sewer authority. So you can understand and appreciate the importance of that. The other thing that we're looking at right now is the bypass alone that we installed as a preventative measure in case there was any sort of break in another area of the force main is costing us upwards between $58,000 to $73,000 a month. So getting a loan in place so that we can start these projects is essential. The projects that I just mentioned totals around $23 million. So, you know, the city council, members of the finance committee will know that the money is going to projects for debilitated infrastructure, critical infrastructure.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do me one favor. So Cedar Swamp is going to require $14 million.
Correct.
The air was at the airport. Please, what was the second item? That was 3.8.
Oakland Beach Force Main is
before that.
I mentioned the Cedar Swamp Force Main, the Oakland Beach Force Main.
Okay, for Oakland Beach Force Main, what was the price tag on that?
The estimate is 3.8 million, and we are receiving 1.44 million in earmark.
1.44?
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Appanag?
Did you get the Oakland Beach Pump Station, Councilman?
Yeah, well, you said Oakland Beach Force Main, so that the pump stations are separate?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
That's
go ahead.
That's $6 million estimate with 2.4 in earmark.
Okay.
Appanag Pump Station is estimated, the upgrade is estimated at $1.5 million and will be receiving about $536,000 in earmark.
Okay.
And the ejector stations are around, there are seven of them. The estimate is about $340,000 each. And those, that would include the construction, the purchase of the replacement ejector station, the construction and the design engineering administration of those projects.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you the basic questions right up front then.
Sure.
You're basically asking for an additional $23 million, but I understand there's a lot of projects going on. What was your estimate prior to this? Like, how did we get to this point?
So the estimate for the Cedar Swamp Force Main Rehabilitation Project was grossly underestimated by our engineer. The original estimate was around $4 million, and then the bid tab that the engineer provided for the bid package was estimated at about 4.6. So that right there is approximately $10 million difference in the cost for that particular project. And there were several factors, according to our engineer, as to why the projected cost came in so much higher. Myself, I will say right now, he didn't do his homework. He did not properly evaluate the materials based on current costs. We've seen supply chain issues starting last year. Those supply chain issues have escalated costs because of the value of certain materials like iron and steel products. We've also seen an increase in petroleum products. So the resins that correspond to these rehabilitation projects, the force main projects, it's tripled. Steel, the valves, tripled. So my concern was with the cost when the bids came in, obviously, the discrepancy in the cost. We had our engineer go back, sharpen his pencil, and look at these numbers again. Miraculously, it came in around $14 million. This raised concerns not only for me, but also our board. We hired an outside independent engineering firm to evaluate the cost. They looked at a couple of different scenarios, and their estimate is around $13.2 to $14.2 million for the project, which is right in line with what the estimates were on the bids. Well, I shouldn't say estimates, what the bid, the submittals were.
Is the engineering company, the firm that made these estimates, grossly underestimated these estimates, are they still on retainer? Or are they still a company that the sewer authority still works with?
They are. They did provide us with a quote. They are part of our RFQ for engineering services. They did provide us with a quote for administration of the contract and any of the review of invoicing, that sort of thing, that will continue with the project. It's probably around $420,000 worth of work, additional work, to have oversight of this. That's a contract that we signed. Whether or not we could possibly get out of that contract. I don't know. I've been speaking with our attorney about how we should move forward, if there needs to be even additional language in our contract that speaks to instances like this, because of what we're seeing with the price increases with supply chain and other items that are critical, absolutely critical to these infrastructure projects. So it is something we're looking into, but we do have a contract with the engineering firm for the administration. Aside from that, we do not have that engineering firm working on any other projects for us that would go out to bid.